Welcome to Why We Marathon, a podcast diving into the deep motivating factors for why people choose to run marathon races. I'm your host, Alex Allman, and today we have a very special guest, Caitlin Burrows, coming from Brooklyn, New York. How are you today?
Doing great. How are you?
I am doing well. Doing well. Really excited. Shout out to our friend Aaron, who connected us and initially told me about your first marathon, which is a story we'll get into today. Every question I ask to start is just your age and your day job. I'm always curious to see where people are coming from in the marathon world.
Yeah, so I'm 32, living in Brooklyn, and work for LinkedIn, but currently working from my apartment, which has been great.
Awesome. Yeah, pretty solid company to be working for. Awesome. And in terms of your first marathon race, when did you first get started?
Yeah, so my first marathon was actually the New York City 2019 marathon. So unlike a lot of the super impressive professional runners that you've had on this podcast, I am new to the marathon world, but very excited to be a part of it and definitely not stopping anytime soon.
I love that spirit. And, you know, I feel like once people start them, it becomes addicting, and it's definitely something, you know, you hear a lot of people do multiple races after their first one. So what prompted you to sign up for that in 2019?
Yeah, well, I've always been a very active person. I love movement, dance, athletics. Did track my senior year of high school and then kind of just like continued to run throughout college and throughout my 20s. It's always been sort of like a cathartic experience for me. I use it to like, you know, have these moments to myself. And then I joined New York Roadrunners. I guess it was back in 2017 or 2018. Started doing like small races and was like, oh, this is actually super fun. I'm a pretty competitive person, even though I'm like mostly competing against myself. But I did a lot of like 5Ks and 4 milers. And then I'm like, let me do a half marathon. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to do the 9+1, which I'm sure a lot of your listeners are already familiar with. But basically, you run 9 New York Roadrunners races, volunteer for one, and that qualifies you for the New York City Marathon. So I did that, qualified for the 2019 marathon. And yeah, that's how my marathon journey began.
Awesome. So it sounded like a lot of smaller races sort of gave you the confidence to move up to that marathon race. And once you did the half, you were just like, let's go all in.
Absolutely.
Love it. And now with New York Roadrunners, were you running with a group of people or was it individual training? How did you sort of structure your program?
Individual training. I've definitely done some running with my husband and some other people in like one-on-one situations, but I am very solitary person on my runs. I like to kind of connect with myself. I like to be around other people who are running. So I love to like pass by other runners, which I feel like is a very New York thing to do. Like surround yourself with people who are doing the same thing that you're doing, but you're not actually communicating with them. So that's sort of my running style.
There is something nice about seeing fellow runners out. I always try to give a wave or a high five or not a high five in the COVID days, but usually just a wave and, you know, something nice about everyone doing the same thing. I feel you there. Where do you run in the city?
I do a lot of runs in Brooklyn. So I do love to run along the waterfront, go down Kent through Dumbo. There's some great piers by the Brooklyn Bridge Park that you can kind of run through without having to worry about like traffic, cars stopping. So that's a really good area. And then for marathon training, I definitely train some of the bridges. So running through Manhattan, going over the Williamsburg Bridge, up Second Avenue, Queensboro. I try to hit, I don't really hit Staten Island until the day of, but I try to hit all of the other boroughs.
For sure. That's smart. What's your sort of reasoning behind that? Just to familiarize yourself with the course?
I think it's just to experience different vibes and pick up on the energies of the city and kind of fuel my run by seeing different things and seeing what's going on in the city.
Yeah, I love that. That's definitely one of my big proponents of running is just, it's a great way to see people, you know, places when you're traveling, you know, little nooks and crannies that you might not see. Sounds like you've taken full advantage of that in the busiest city in the world.
Yes.
Awesome. So, you know, tell me something you learned about yourself after you ran that first marathon. You know, that first one I feel like is always one of the hardest.
Yeah. So I don't know if you want me to just jump into my experience for the first marathon. It was a little bit of a traumatic marathon experience. But a few months prior to the marathon, I'd actually been at like a summer barbecue playing spike ball in Vans, slipped and sort of hurt my foot. I, you know, communicated with Google and a couple of friend doctors and did like a very not specific healing plan, which is mostly just like ice, heat, raise the foot, rest. And it got into, it felt good. So I continued with my training, went through with the marathon, probably on what wasn't like a fully healed foot, got to the 10th mile, which is around 4th Avenue in Brooklyn, and was trying to maneuver around some people and find a space for myself. I stepped into a small pothole and the top of my foot kind of twisted inward. I felt just this like sharp pain shoot up my body. But as you know, having run the New York City Marathon, it's basically like you're on a train for the first half of the marathon. So you're just moving. So I never actually stopped to like assess the situation. I was just like, we're going. Didn't even feel that much pain in the beginning because there was just so much adrenaline. But then as the race continued, I couldn't like fully like follow the path of my foot from heel to toe. And it became almost like I was just like putting a little bit of pressure on it, like it was a peg, and just getting to the end. I wasn't like taking any fuel. I started to feel really sick. So ran the last 16 miles like that, crossed the finish line, and then realized when I took my first step, like walking, I was just like, this is not good. Something's definitely wrong here. As you know, you kind of have to walk another mile before you can exit. So that was super painful. I took my shoe off, which was a massive mistake because my foot had already started swelling. So then I had to like unlace all of the laces just to get the shoe back on my foot to get out of Central Park. But yeah, the next day I went to the doctor, got x-rays. It turned out I had torn my Lisfranc ligament and fractured my cuboid bone. So basically spent the next couple months in a boot, going through sort of the post-race come down of feeling a little bit depressed about it being over, and then also depressed about not being able to move.
it was
not fun, but definitely learned a lot about myself. The fact that I was able to like persevere through that to begin with was something that I wouldn't have expected. And then I think also just, I learned how much that feeling of camaraderie that you get at the marathon is just really fuels you and just kind of is sort of the point, or one of the points, one of the reasons behind doing something like this is connecting with complete strangers about just running. It's really interesting, but that piece really stuck with me a lot.
I absolutely love that. And I mean, props to you. That is some determination to finish the marathon with a broken foot and some tears in your foot. I mean, that's unbelievable. I think, you know, it just shows like how much the mental aspect is of the running too. And your pain threshold must be pretty high these days.
Yeah. So since then, I mean, as I think we talked about this earlier, but I've now completed my second marathon, which was also the New York City Marathon this year. And the lead up to this marathon was kind of an interesting journey as well. After going through that experience and then being really excited about getting back on my feet, we kind of all know what happened in 2020. All the races started going virtual. The marathon got canceled. I did some virtual racing and, you know, a lot of solitary runs, which were great. And then once 2021 came around, I was super excited to get back into actual racing. And then had another sort of health scare in the beginning of April, came back from a morning run and had some very severe pain in my lower abdomen. And then ultimately had to go to the ER and found out that I had two like really large benign tumors on my ovaries.
Gosh.
So I had some pretty kind of spontaneous surgery. Wow. A week or so later. And that kind of put me out of training again for a couple of months, but recovered from that, got back in shape, super excited to do the marathon a week and a half ago now. And yeah, it was great.
Wow. Talk about a crazy set of circumstances you've been through there. I mean, it just seems like everything was thrown at you from different medical angles and different parts of your body. So impressive. How did you change your training, you know, sort of knowing what happened last time? Did you, you know, focus more on, you know, certain aspects of training or cross training, or how did you sort of solve?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think one of the things that I focus on was having two different pairs of shoes. So I have my race shoes, which are Nike Vaporflies, and then I also have Nike Invincibles. I did a lot of my long runs in the Invincibles because they have sort of a sturdier base and a thicker bottom. And I felt like my feet were much more secure and I had less of a concern of kind of having a twist or, you know, being off balance during the long training runs. And then I would continue to use the Faber-Flies for my speed work. And those were the shoes that I actually wore during the race. But that was sort of like this, maybe a little bit mental, but just kind of this protectionary element that I wanted to add to my training to make sure that, you know, nothing crazy happens leading up to it. But aside from that, I think I definitely increased my mileage this time. You know, it was only my second marathon, so I'm definitely still in the experimental phase, if you will, and I plan to continue testing out new things going forward, but definitely increasing my mileage overall and really making sure that I hit over 20. I actually did 21 miles for my final long run about 3 weeks out from the race.
And did you feel much better this time around?
So overall, like physically, my feet, my legs, everything did feel much better. I had this strange acid reflux that kicked in. I've like since been reading and researching and trying to figure out what it's from because I take what I eat very seriously before race. And of course, like as much as you want your race day to completely mimic all of your training, it's not really possible for it to be identical. I mean, because I'm not a professional runner, my training runs work around my life, whereas my life works around the marathon on that day. So I'm not usually up 5 hours before I start my training runs. And I'm not usually putting as many calories in my body right before my training runs. So a lot of that stuff I'm still experimenting with. But so I did have this like very strange feeling of just like there was a rock in my chest the whole time. And it just that kind of messed with me being able to intake fuel. I couldn't really get like water and Gatorade down just like little sips at a time because I was feeling
it all during the race.
I did. Yeah, wasn't sure if you wanted me to talk about that on the podcast, but
it's okay. You know, the New York Roadrunner sends out an email saying people vomit on the course, like look out for it, but it's okay. It's allowed. Apparently. Yeah,
I try to be discreet. I found like right before the Greensboro Bridge, I'm like, here's a place where there are no fans. So I, you know, I tried to be graceful about it, but I did vomit a couple of times.
Yeah. So, hey, you got to do what you got to do in the marathon. I've learned, you know,
it's exactly.
Down the stretch. If you got to really go to the bathroom, you better do it or else it's not going to be fun the rest of the, you know, the last few miles there. And I'm sure, you know, dealing with the acid reflux is tough. What did you have the night before? I'm always, that's going to be a new question, I think, moving forward, just the pre-night meal. What do you have?
Yeah. So, well, 2 days before I did pasta and then the night before I did basically a huge veggie burger that was made of chickpeas and beans. And the morning of I avoided a bagel because last time the bagel made me feel too full. Yeah. But I woke up, had a protein bar and then had a couple more granola bars leading up to it. A honey stinger, like waffle filled with honey, and then carried with me a bunch of gummies and stuff. But again, I couldn't really keep anything down. But during my training runs, I actually find the gummies to be really helpful because you can kind of pop little ones in here and there. They give you a little burst of energy and it makes you feel like you're doing something else. So it's I'm not just running for 4 hours. I'm also having a little snack here and there.
There you go. And you're like a kid again, having gummies, right? I love that feeling.
Yes.
Amazing. So I guess I'm curious as well, you know, do you have a favorite running route now, you know, specifically with all your training runs?
I definitely do love when I go through Manhattan and do the bridges. I love running down Second Avenue. I just think that there's so much energy there and there's like people having brunch and there's people playing basketball. There's other runners, there's bikers, there's people like cursing each other out. There's just so much to take in. So that's definitely one of my favorites in terms of energy. But running in Brooklyn along the piers, down by the Brooklyn Bridge, those are great for kind of being able to keep that consistent pace without having to stop for cars, stop for traffic. And then I do go to the McCarran Park track in Williamsburg to do speed workouts a lot. And the key for that is to either go really early in the morning or on cold days or rainy days. I've had like some of my best workouts on rainy days there because people fall. Yeah. If it's nice out, people flock to that park. So it's hard to use a track in the city without like 100 other people using it.
Yeah. It's definitely a New York City problem right there for sure. 100%. You're not afraid of slipping in the rain though. That's always my biggest fear is just slipping and falling.
It hasn't happened yet, but now that you jinxed me, I will be paying very much attention to it next time.
I think you've had enough medical injuries to date. I don't want that. I don't want that to happen. I'll knock on wood over here.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I'm curious, you know, as sort of a, you know, two-time marathon runner, anything you would recommend for someone, you know, in terms of training or preparation or, you know, getting ready for that first marathon, since, yeah, it's so recent for you?
Yeah. One thing I would say is I actually, this is related to apps and things like that, but I got the Garmin 245 watch. That's been really helpful for my training, because I think the GPS aspect is great. All the different features that you can add to it are super great, but also it connects to the Garmin app, which I also connect to my Nike Plus Run app. There's just so much in there that you can learn about how your speed training is going. How are you improving week over week? You really get a good sense of the analytics behind the training that you're doing. I would also say, talk to people when you're at, you know, the marathon in the morning. I think some of the greatest inspiration that I got is from having just conversations with random people I've never met in my life. The morning of, just feel that energy, fuel off of it. I actually had an experience, two interesting experiences before this past marathon. One, getting on the ferry, there was a 76-year-old man next to me who was talking about how he was running his first marathon. And he just decided, I've done everything else in my life, like, why not try it? And that was just like, tearing up, like, you're amazing.
That is epic. Did you tell him about the podcast?
If I wasn't so nervous, I would have thought about it. But if I ever see him again, I definitely will. He lives in Brooklyn.
That's amazing. And that's a really good tip, I think, just for folks in general, is like, everyone is so welcoming there. And to your point earlier about the community aspect of running, I shared a ferry ride with a young girl named Morgan, who was, you know, raising money also for charity like I was, and just like bonded over both of our parents being sick. And it was just like, gosh, all of that on a freaking Sunday morning.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like a lot, but it's beautiful. I mean, it's incredible. I also just had one of my feet, my left foot, was getting kind of numb because it was pretty cold in the morning. So when I was in the corral, I sat down and took my shoe off and was sort of just massaging my toes. And then this woman came over to me and gives me one of the little heat pads. Ooh. And goes, here, like, my foot's numb too. I have one of these. And I was like, oh my gosh, thank you so much. And she's like, don't thank me. That guy over there gave them to me. There's just so much of that aspect of sharing. And we're all in this together. And we all we're running together for our own times, but we're all doing it as one. So that's definitely something that I would recommend. And then also, if it's over and it sucked, or you're not happy with your time, like, don't be done with it. Train for another one. That would be my last piece of advice.
That's what I'm doing. And I think that's a great piece of advice. You know, I think people need to also put in perspective that just running a marathon is a huge accomplishment, and, you know, 0.0005% of the world or something like that runs them. So I totally agree with you there. There's something about the humanity of the marathon racing, both from the, you know, I think the running perspective and then the spectators. I don't know, did you put your name on your shirt this year?
So I didn't, and I definitely will next time, because for a lot of the race, I was running next to people who had their names on, and I just kind of like inhabited their persona. Like, I was like, I am Missy now, because everyone's cheering for Missy and I need that. So I'm Missy game changer.
I like that, Missy. Yeah. I had random people shouting my names. And the only thing that was confusing was I didn't know if there were friends and family that like I knew, because I saw like six random people I wasn't expecting to on the course. And then other people are just yelling, go Alex. And I'm like, who are you?
Yeah. Like, do I have to high five you, or do I know you? Do I have to hug you? No.
Okay. No stopping. Keep going. Yeah, exactly. How about just in terms of your like pre-race mentality? Do you have any rituals or anything, or any music that you always listen to?
So during this marathon, I actually listened to no music, which was great. I'm not sure if I do other marathons that are, you know, a little more remote. I'm not sure if I'll be able to go the whole time without any music, but you just don't really have to in New York. There's so much. But yeah, it just felt very like meditative beforehand, just doing a lot of like breathing and kind of talking to myself. It sounds corny, but just reminding myself of all the training I did to get here, and reminding myself, you know, that no matter what happens, just make sure you cross the finish line and your family will be waiting for you and you can have a drink and some food. So just a lot of like talking to myself is how I prepared for it.
Awesome. Where did you go after the race to celebrate?
Back to my apartment. My husband also ran the marathon. He finished way before me, but
that's there. I didn't know this. Can we bring him on?
He's actually at work right now, but he ran a 3:09. So he PR'd and had an excellent race. So we both came back here. Our families were here, and we had our families actually brought in food and cooked lasagna and chicken and different dishes. So we had like a whole little gathering.
Love a good Italian feast. That's definitely up my alley there. What's your PR, by the way?
4:06. The goal was sub 4. So that's why I have to keep going, because
me too.
Gotta get sub 4.
Yeah, that's my goal too. I really thought this was going to be the year, and it wasn't, but next year I'm feeling it for sure. We'll maybe run it together again.
Yes.
Are you signed up for another one, or what's your next one?
So not signed up yet, but I might do an outside of New York one to test out another course. I'm definitely going to do the Brooklyn half this year. And a lot of probably of the smaller races for New York Roadrunners, so that I can qualify again for the following year. But I am going to look to see if there's a course outside of New York to test that out. But I need to sub for New York, and then I can move the goalposts. So I will be doing this one again.
Awesome. I love that. And I mean, New York is my favorite, but I've signed up for Big Sur next year so far, and eyeing Chicago and New York. So we'll see how that goes.
Big Sur sounds amazing. You have to take pictures.
I will definitely be jogging lightly and taking in the view for most of that one. Awesome. I'm just curious in terms of like any runners you admire or people that you train with, anyone that you look up to, I guess, in the running community.
Yeah. So my sister-in-law, Kelly Powell, she actually was an All-American runner at Brown. I would say she's kind of what got me into running. And she's just one of these great people who's good at everything and is like, no, you can do that. Like when I thought that I would never be able to run 26.2 miles, she's like, no, you can absolutely do that. So she's an incredible source of inspiration. And then, you know, there are so many amazing professional runners. One of my best friends got me into following Alexi Pappas, a former Olympian. She is really super fun to follow, but also just does a good job of kind of connecting the mental piece to the physical piece. She talks a lot about, you know, treating your brain the way you treat your body, rehab it, work it out like that, go to therapy if you need to. So I think that's something, you know, really important in the running community. And then inspiration for this specific race, Jerry Trachtenberg or something, but there's this a guy who ran the first New York City Marathon 50 years ago, ran it again this time. It was his first time running the New York City Marathon since then. He's run other marathons in between, but I read a whole article about him and how, you know, when he first did his marathon, he was 17 years old. He was just sort of saw it in an ad for it in the paper, showed up without any training, like didn't fuel at all during the race, like had no training, finished it. He was like one of the very few finishers, and then he just like chugged a bunch of soda because they had free soda for you at the end. So yeah, he came back, and his story is really cool and unique and inspirational, and that got me super pumped. So there's always, you know, I actually follow the New York Times has like a runner's newsletter, and there's just always so many cool stories in there. So I'd recommend that to anyone who's looking for some outside inspiration.
Those are great tips there. And I love, you know, sort of those older folks, honestly, that are running, to your point about the 76-year-old guy doing his first one. I've had some people on the podcast, you know, starting after they're 50 and might have had a stroke or something like that. But I always look at that during the race. And honestly, in New York, in that marathon, there's so many people of so many different, you know, body types, races, sizes, ages. It's so incredible to see, you know, everyone being able to do it. And I feel like as a 31-year-old, I don't have any excuses.
I couldn't agree more. I'm with you.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for joining us today. I always end the podcast with sort of one last question, you know, in 2 to 3 sentences. The podcast is called Why We Marathon. Can you sum up why you run marathon races?
Yeah, I think it's really just this insatiable need to constantly prove myself to myself. And then after doing it once, I've mentioned this throughout, but it's the humanity, it's the camaraderie, it's that feeling of being part of something that's much bigger than me. And that's what keeps me going and keeps me interested.
Amazing. Well, thanks so much for joining us today, Caitlin. I really appreciate it. And thank you to all my listeners from the bottom of my heart. Really thank you for listening today. It means a lot to me. Hope you could share the podcast with your friends and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts as well. We're available on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Anchor, all of the major podcast networks. And you can follow us on Instagram at Why We Marathon and check out our website, www.whywemarathon.com, for additional stories and photos. Thanks so much and have a great rest of the week.